podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC and your daily okay to lose your heads, because last night was nothing short of a disgrace. Liverpool 0, Atalanta 3 in the Europa League at Anfield in front of a muted crowd. A muted crowd that was warranted in many ways because the team performance was so poor. Gianluca Scamacca put them one up on 38 minutes, Quivin Kelleher failing to deal with the weakest of shots. Scamacca making it two on 60 minutes. A bad pass from Kelleher to Gomez began a series of events that ended with Joe Gomez not doing his job and not covering a cross when Virgil moved to left back because Robbo had pushed out. And Ibu moved to left centre-back because Virgil had gone to left-back. Joe Gomez failed to make his rotation and was just left nowhere as Scamacca puts it in and makes it two. And then on 83 minutes, Mario Pasalic, a fairly shite ball from Dom under hit. Scamacca picks it up. Virgil drops a little too deep. Gomez and Dom give up on the play and don't track the runners. And when the ball gets played through to Ederson, first and foremost, there's no defender to make a challenge. He hits a very, very weak shot that I think Kelleher should hold. He doesn't. And Pasalic, who again, no defensive player has bothered their hole to try and track, taps home. Should have mentioned that on the first goal, Joe Gomez really should be doing more to get a block in on the shot, but it is what it is. Joe had by far his worst performance of the season. Quivin was fairly turgid. He did make two good 1v1 saves. One of them hit him in the face. He knew very little about it. The other one was a great save coming off his line against Coop Miners. But Atalanta will believe they should have scored both of those. And we only really created one good chance in the game. Like, when you really look at the opportunities we had, we had 5 shots on target, 19 in the game. The only really good chance we had in the game was when Curtis Jones played through Darwin. And Darwin had 3 choices. He could open his body and put it round the goalkeeper into the far corner. He could drill it low and hard to the near corner to him, or he could go round the goalkeeper and tap it into an empty net. And of options A, B, and C, Darwin, being the rogue that he is, went for secret option number 4, or option D, and tried to loft it over the goalkeeper and made an absolute hames of it. People tried to make out that Jota had a big chance. He really didn't. Virgil had a good chance from a header off a set piece. Mo scored a goal that was ruled offside. Mo had another half chance that Musso made a good save from. But we were just shit. Well, from minute one, we were outplayed. We were outfought. Our manager was outthought. Like, Gasperini really had Jurgen's pants down in Tanda's arse last night. The way he used Coop Miners and the Ketelier off the back of our midfield was exceptional. And that is something Liverpool fans should get used to seeing, because Ruben Amorim often does something similar. Assuming it's him, of course. But like, the team was just strange. We talked about it last night on Raw. We talked about it on Scouted. It wasn't the individual changes Jürgen made. It was more the collective changes that he made. So, for example, changing the entire right side with Joe Gomez moving to right back, Alexis moving to right side of midfield, and Harvey Elliott coming in on the right wing, Costas coming in at left back, Curtis Jones coming in on the left of midfield, and Cody Gakpo coming in left wing. If you change all of that, it's going to cause you problems. And it's not any of the individuals, because they're all fine players. And, you know, Joe was having a great season. Costas was tremendous before he got injured, but has barely had a sniff since. Curtis is having a really good season. Now, he's obviously had it disrupted by injury, but he was having a great season until he got injured. Alexis McAllister has been incredible for us this season. Cody is not at a good year. Like, there's just no way around it. Cody's having a bad season. And I don't care that he had five key passes last night. He did not play well. He was not our best player, because nobody was our best player. Because nobody played well. They were all bad. And then Harvey's had a really good year off the bench. But when he starts against good teams, he doesn't have the same kind of impact. So it all went wrong for us last night. Every bit of it. A couple of their players absolutely worth a mention here. Martin Deroon, playing out of position as the left side centre-back, had a strong outing. Ruggeri down their left flank, very, very good. Coop Miners played well. De Ketelier played quite well. Scamacca got two goals. But Ederson in midfield was tremendous. And he's certainly someone that we should be looking at. We need an upgrade in our defensive midfield position. And I understand Endo has done well this year. I do. But if we're being really honest here, when you compare him to other top-level DMs, he's been okay. He's 7 out of 10 most weeks. Some weeks he's 8, some weeks he's 6. Most weeks he's 7 out of 10, and that's fine. Like, it's okay. But ideally we need someone who's of a higher level. And Ederson is someone that would be on a short list. He wouldn't be top. He might not even be top three, but he's certainly top five of the players we should be looking at this summer for that position. And Endo will be a really good squad player. A really good squad player. Like, in an Amorim midfield, Ederson and Alexis as a starting pair and Endo and Jones as the rotation pair, with Bacetic then being brought along slowly, that's a really good five-man group. And that's what you need in that position. If you're playing a double pivot, you need five options. And that'd be a really strong group. And he wouldn't cost a huge amount either. 35 to 40 million probably gets that done. He was one we could have signed last summer. But, you know, Jörg Schmatke had other ideas, like he had when Mickey van de Ven was there for us to buy, and Schmatke decided he wasn't up to playing in the Premier League. He's good at his job, that fellow, wasn't he? We just need to wipe last night away. And we need a reaction this weekend against Crystal Palace. We have recorded Scouted this morning. I haven't checked the website, but I assume it is out already. We'll have a look at This Is Anfield, where I'm sure there will be some misery. Flags, changes, and second leg chances. Last word on last night's game. The wheels have come off, and the usual nonsense. Curtis Jones admits surprise. Jurgen Klopp admits surprise at Curtis Jones' fatigue. So that explains why Curtis went off at halftime. Now, he wasn't playing well, but at least he's not injured or anything like that. Jurgen Klopp defends making 6 changes versus Atalanta. I would do it again. That's part of the problem, you see, Jurgen. Lost for words. Liverpool fans furious after worst game of the season. Home leg bottled. First Anfield loss in 14 months. We were wide open. Virgil van Dijk criticizes individual errors. The individual errors came as a result of the selection and tactical errors, though. Like, the problem was systemic rather than individual last night. And all of the players suffered for it. Jurgen Klopp didn't recognize his Liverpool side in low point. Fans are fed up with Joe Gomez being told to shoot. Absolutely. I think Jurgen should bring Joe Gomez into his office and say, Joe, here's the thing. You can't shoot. But if you want to shoot from now on till the end of the season, fire ahead. But if you don't at least work the goalkeeper, and by that I mean not have him stand and catch it, I mean force him to dive and save it, I'm fining you $100,000 for every fucking shot, because it's a joke at this point. He had 2 last night. They were abysmal. The second one, he had given a Dejan Lovren-esque performance. That was a Dejan Lovren-esque shot. Luis Diaz offside, VAR no longer blacklisted. Back for first game in 6 months. Darren England was stood down in the aftermath of Liverpool's 2-1 loss to Tottenham. Yeah. I'm still angry over that, being honest. Because there's no reason they couldn't have stopped the game. You can hear it on the full audio when they realize that they've made a mistake. And you can see the moment in the referee's face when he hears that the goal should have been given. You can see it in his face. The ball goes out for a throw-in in the Spurs right back position, and the camera was round behind the throw-in taker, and you can see the referee's face contort in horror as he realizes what happened. And then they scramble and say there's nothing they can do. They could have stopped the game and given the goal. I'm sorry, they could have stopped the game and given the goal. Had it been another club, I fucking bet they would have done it. They once restarted a game to allow Manchester United to take a penalty. So don't tell me they couldn't have stopped the game to give us a goal that we scored.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Anyway, Jurgen Klopp reveals medical staff decision on Trent and Diogo Jota. So obviously Jota coming back last night and getting a run out, one of the only highlights from the game, the other one being Jota, Trent and Bissetic being on the bench. Jota had been out for 7 weeks. There is no chance to play Trent. He was on the bench because we were allowed to put 23 players in the squad. I assume the same is true of Bacetic. Jota might get half an hour against Palace, and maybe Trent gets 10 minutes. Maybe. We'll see. Ali's probably still another week away from being back in the squad. So that's all they have there. Lots of misery from last night, which suits my mood. I was actually going to do this podcast just blaming Jurgen for, well, everything, really. Not football-related stuff, just things that bother me in the world. Like, for example, the housing crisis. Why not blame Jurgen? That's the mood I'm in. Why not blame him? Just blame him for that. Blame him for mortgage rates. Blame him for Mars bars not tasting the way they used to. Blame him for shrinkflation. Blame him for the cost of living crisis. Blame him for the fact that I've been forced to sit through more bad films in the last 6 months than anybody in history. Blame him for the constant remakes that Hollywood goes down. You're just going to blame him for everything. Liverpool forward Cody Gakpo played well. No, he didn't. No, he fucking didn't. He gave the ball away and screwed up simple passes over and over again. I don't care that he had 5 key passes. A key pass is the most meaningless stat this side of interceptions. Absolute nonsense and gives no context. Find me the XG of Cody's key passes. What his XG, what his X assist was. Find me that. And I bet it's minuscule. More about last night. Jamie Carragher makes all in Liverpool demand. Carragher said we should send, you know, a full reserve team to Atalanta for the second leg. I am inclined to agree, though, you know, would never fully agree with Jamie Carragher on absolutely anything. But it's Jurgen, so he's going to send the full strength team. More on last night. Bayern Munich rivals Liverpool for next manager candidate. I doubt it. Bayern Munich discussing Julian Nagelsmann. Julian Nagelsmann is not something that we're considering. And Rudy Galletti is an absolute moron, so he wouldn't know either way. Joel Matip potentially heading for Turkey when his contract runs out. It's pretty clear with Michael Edwards coming back and Joel's age that he wouldn't be getting a new contract regardless of the injury. But yeah, I mean, best of luck to Joel wherever he goes. It's just a shame that his Liverpool career had to end on a bad injury, you know, and we could really have done with Joel because he was playing well this year. Liverpool will make Ruben Amorim transfer market record as Michael Edwards formula applied. Michael Edwards will pay at least some attention to Ruben Amorim's transfer record. It is worth pointing out that Ruben Amorim doesn't run recruitment at Sporting. That would be Hugo Viana. But yeah, I mean, Amorim's development of players is what Edwards will love. Players like Ousmane Diamande signed for, I think, 7 million, 8 million. He's going to go for 70 million when he moves. Victor Gyökeres signed for 17 million. He'll be 70 plus million. Manuel Ugarte was signed for, I think, 4 million. And he left for 51 million. Pedro Porro came in for 14, left for 40. Potic and Calvez, they got for, I think, 3 million. His injuries are the only reason that he's not going to fetch huge money, but he's been a sensation under Amorim. Then there's the academy kids, Goncalo Inacio, Nuno Mendes. I mean, Mendes went for 60 million. Inacio will go for similar. These are just some of the stories. Like, Matthias Nunes, another one, sold for big money that he developed into a real player. Paulinho was an afterthought, a scrap heap job. He'd been written off at Sporting. Amorim got him on loan at Braga, did really well with him, brought him back when he took the Sporting job, brought him back that summer, made him a starter next to Nunes, and they went and won the league, and Paulinho was outstanding for them. I think the only reason he went for 20 million was because he needed a year left on his contract. Otherwise, he'd have been probably double that. Now, there's talk that he's a 60 million pound player. And he's no better now than he was when he left Sporting. He's a couple of years older. But Amorim did such a good job with him. So I think that's what Edwards will love. I really do. Anfield Watch, do you have any joy for us, lads? We're looking for a little bit of joy. I'm guessing probably not. There's no joy to really be found in the world today. Liverpool to battle title rivals for 21-year-old La Liga prodigy this summer. We'll come back to that because that might be at least some exciting news. Virgil van Dijk insists Barcelona-esque comeback against Atalanta is possible. I mean, it is, but like, does anyone think it's really going to happen? It's possible, it's just not likely. Liverpool transfers. Reds now looking into deal for one of the world's best talents. That is about Jamal Musiala. There's a piece about Alan Varela as well. He'd be my first choice to bring in to partner with Alexis in an Amorim midfield. That, to me, would be an ideal pairing. Liverpool will have to fend off interests from Manchester City and Arsenal should they make a move for Philippe Jorgensen. Philippe Jorgensen is a very, very highly regarded young Swedish / Danish underage international, born in Sweden, has a Danish father, represented Sweden at under 16 and 17 level, now plays for the Danish under 21 team. Really, really talented. Has made his breakthrough at Villarreal this year. He's 21. He fits the bill for us in terms of size and style. And I would expect Kelleher to be one of the first people out the door this summer because Edwards doesn't do sentimentality. And he will understand that, as with Rhian Brewster back in the day and others, Kelleher's value will never be higher than it is now. He's never going to be number one at Liverpool, so there's no point in keeping him around when you could sell him for 25, 30 million. So it makes all the sense to sell him and bring in someone like Jorgensen, who at 21 is 4.5 years younger than Kelleher. 3.5 years younger, because he's about to turn 22. 3.5 years younger than Kelleher. So if you could get 3 good years out of him and then sell him, unless Ali's ready to move on at that point, in which case maybe he's developed into the number one, I'd be stunned if Kelleher's not moved on this summer. I think he'll want to go as well. He wanted to go last summer and the summer before, and we wouldn't let him. Last summer, there wasn't really an offer for him, I think because we put it out that we wanted stupid money and he hadn't done anything at that point to warrant silly money. This season, bar last night, he has been tremendous. He had a few shaky games early in the season in the Europa League and such, but in this stretch without Ali, he's been great. And I think there will be a Premier League club that will look at that and go, yeah, we're going to throw money at him. We're going to throw money at getting him in. He can be our long-term number one. So he'll have offers. He'll want to go. He'll want to play. He's not going to be happy going back to playing five games a season. Simple as that. So that is that. On to AnfieldIndex.com. See what is what. There will be, obviously, like I said, that scouted podcast. Ruben Amorim denies talks with Liverpool, which is what he was always going to do. He has not talked to the club, but the club would not talk to him anyway. They would talk to his agent. So that is understandable. Liverpool tipped to sign teenage Bundesliga star. Now, it is from Football Transfers, so likely to be shite. But Hugo Larsson of Eintracht Frankfurt is someone we've been linked with in the past. Very, very talented player. Very, very talented player. If we were signing a teenager to develop as our next six, he's 19, I'd much rather sign Archie Gray. Now, Larsson's really, really talented, and he's going to be a tremendous player. But I would much rather sign Archie Gray, who I think is one of the most special young midfielders I've ever seen. A couple of pieces about last night's game. Liverpool eyeing move for Brazilian wonder kid, Pedro Lima, 17-year-old of Sport Recife. Not to be confused with the one that plays for Norwich. I do think we'll see Liverpool start to delve into the South American market. The block on that leaves this summer, so no reason not to. Podcast-wise, there is last night's Raw, where we put in far more effort than any of the players did. The Scouted is not up yet, but it will be out today. I would assume that there'll be a rival recon, and if I delve into the group chat that we have, we can see what else is due. There will be a Moby on the Spot today as well. Should be out tonight. And there will be an AIP, which I'm guessing they'll hold till tomorrow, given we're playing Sunday. So that should be out then. There'll also be a post-press conference pod from Dave Davis. And yeah. Yeah, so loads to come. And I think it's myself, Trev, and Harry again for Raw after Palace. But Matchett gets the away leg for Atalanta, which might be either one of the great nights of Jürgen's tenure, or it's his last European game. So either way, it'll be notable. I will speak to you all on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, and hopefully we have more joy to discuss rather than the misery and blaming Jürgen Klopp for the fact that whenever I turn on my computer, Microsoft Teams auto-opens, and I've turned off auto-open on repeatedly, and it still auto-opens and pisses me off. And you know whose fault that is? It's Jürgen Klopp's fault. See you Monday. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.